science and technology in our lives. Then throw in some culture, history, ethics, philosophy, and religion. That's Spark Dialogue Podcast, where it all comes together. I'm Elizabeth Fernandez. Machines, robots, and artificial intelligence are appearing more and more frequently in our lives. Situations where these machines would actually have to make a moral decision are on the rise too, from self-driving cars, to robots in healthcare, to autonomous weapon systems that pick their own targets. It raises the question, how do we program these machines to know what is ethical? How do you even begin to instill a sense of morality in a machine that thinks in mathematics and lines of code? Today, our guest is Dr. Don Howard, a professor of philosophy at Notre Dame, and a fellow and former director of the Riley Center for Science, Technology, and Values. Don has thought a lot about how to instill robots with a sense of morality and why it's so important not to wait to do so. So welcome to the podcast, Don.
It's a pleasure to be here, Elizabeth. Thank you for inviting me to do this.
So morality and in robots and artificial intelligence may seem like a really unusual thing to talk about. So what exactly do we mean when we're talking about morality and robots?
So I think it's helpful to start with a distinction that was introduced into the literature by Colin Allen and Wendell Wallach in their book, Moral Machines. They talk about the difference between operational morality, functional morality, and full moral agency. Operational morality is simply acting as the machine is supposed to act. Functional morality involves endowing a machine, endowing a robot with some kind of autonomy in moral decision making. And then full moral agency, as the name implies, envisions a future where robots are conscious and self-aware, and so in some more meaningful sense, could be spoken of legitimately as moral agents. Operational morality is really easy to achieve. In fact, it's everywhere in robotic systems and many just simple technologies. So for example, Google Maps is programmed to behave morally by always sending you on the shortest route and never lying to you. Whereas one could imagine a mapping program where the designers were paid by businesses deliberately to steer you along what's not the shortest route so as to drive you past their businesses. Now, of course, Google Maps is not in any way making an autonomous choice or reflecting on the morality of that choice, but it's still behaving in a moral way. That's easy to accomplish. The real challenge at the moment is to try to develop something like functional morality in robots. So the work that's being done on ethics programming for autonomous cars, that would be an example of functional morality. Full moral agency in robots is still science fiction. This is years, maybe decades down the road, if we're even going to get there at all. And many hard problems have to be solved before we would get there, like the really hard problem of consciousness. So for the moment, we're talking about functional morality.
Okay. So what are some examples of this functional morality that in the future we'll see in these systems?
Well, there are many examples. So very widely discussed in the popular literature already are examples like self-driving cars. The so-called trolley problem has become ubiquitous in this literature, comes in many different variations. One version of the trolley problem, the self-driving car is headed down the road, a young mother and child suddenly step into the path of the oncoming self-driving car. The vehicle has to make a decision about whether or not it's going to continue along its path. We assume there's no time to come to a stop, almost certainly killing or at least seriously injuring the mother and child. Or, alternatively, does the vehicle swerve to the left and crash into a passing school bus filled with second graders? That's a kind of moral choice that humans don't have to make all the time, but are often called upon to make. But there are even much more mundane examples of ethical decisions that a self-driving car would make. I like to think about really simple examples, like when we're at a four-way stop, say, and there's a little bit of unclarity or ambiguity about who has the right-of-way. Certain conventions about politeness come into play there. That's low-level morality, but it's still morality. Also widely discussed, of course, is ethics programming for autonomous weapons systems. So, for example, you're staffing a checkpoint in Baghdad during the Iraq War. You see a woman approaching you in a burqa. There's something under the burqa, but you're not sure whether that woman is pregnant or whether she's got a suicide bomb strapped to her chest. Human combatants have to make those kinds of discriminations, as we call it in the law of armed conflict, so as to decide whether that individual is a legitimate target for the application of violence, or an innocent civilian. If we're going to deploy robotic weapon systems, they have to have the same kind of capability to make what is at root a moral decision about whether or not it is morally permissible to kill that individual. But frankly, I think the conversation about morality and robots sometimes gets muddied when we focus on some of these more controversial kinds of cases. I like to go to other settings in which we're going to have to put some kind of ethical capacity into robotic systems. My favorite one is healthcare robots. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we are already building and deploying what are called patient assist robots. These are robots that do things like picking up a patient out of a bed and putting the patient in a bath, or that are designed to help a patient to sit on a toilet. Now, these are situations where we trust human caregivers to know how to behave, to know how to balance their need to provide care to the patient with their obligation to respect the dignity, the bodily integrity, and the privacy of the patient. Now we've got robots doing that job. We've got to make sure that those robots are comparably ethically sensitive agents in order for them to do that job.
Right. So do you think it's important that computer scientists and engineers and people who are working on robots and artificial intelligence be trained in ethics, or should these companies employ ethicists?
I think both would help. So for example, here at Notre Dame, we spend a lot of time and a lot of money developing programs on ethics training for graduate students in science and engineering. I think it's critically important that we help scientists and engineers to understand that they're not just technicians, that they are doing things that have an impact on human lives, on society, on the welfare of the planet, and to be mindful of those impacts as they do their research. Likewise, I think it is a good idea to bring in ethics consultants as the need arises in engineering firms and defense research firms and so forth. I might add, though, that I'm a little cautious here because one doesn't want to fall into the trap of thinking about ethics as some kind of detachable expertise that is the sole domain of the ethics expert who parachutes in from time to time. In an ideal world, you would grow that kind of sensitivity to and sophistication about ethics in the day-to-day work of the scientists and engineers themselves. Mm-hmm. And to do that, I think you've got to start at the beginning. I think we need more ethics in the training of undergraduate scientists and engineers. I think we need to reinforce that training at the graduate level. I think we need to create structures that refresh that sensitivity throughout the professional careers.
Yeah, indeed. So if we go into a little bit more detail, how we actually go about teaching a robot a sense of morality or ethics?
There are various ways to do this. Let's start here. Some people make a distinction between what we call top-down and bottom-up approaches to ethics programming. Top-down approaches are those where basically you are using conventional Turing-type coding techniques in order to build a rule set or maybe some kind of cost-benefit algorithm into the programming of a robot so as to enable it to make certain minimally moral choices. So one person who has done a lot to think about what that would look like in a real-world setting is the computer engineer Ron Arkin at Georgia Tech, who's written a very interesting book on governing lethal behavior in autonomous systems. He's made a lot of progress, and he argues that we already have enough intelligence about how to do this. He can produce a robotic combatant that is, on average, more moral than the average human combatant. That's an impressive claim. Many people think there are inherent limitations to this top-down approach. What kinds of limitations? Well, start with a straightforwardly rule-based approach. The problem there, the big problem there, is that you can't write rules to cover every contingency. The moral life is complicated. Also, there's no rule for emotion in moral judgment. And many critics of Kantian deontology worry that if you programmed your robot in that way, the robot couldn't take advantage of the kind of sense of salience and importance in moral choice that is sometimes what an emotional capacity brings to our acting morally. The bottom-up approach is, again, a not optimally helpful term to describe the idea that instead of writing all the morality into the robot from the beginning, we will design robots that are moral learners. And that means, on the technical side, employing this new generation of AI tools that involve neural nets and learning algorithms. The idea here is that just as a human moral agent went through a moral infancy, learned first by rote as mom and dad slapped the child's hand, how to behave morally, and then gradually through with more moral experience came to be a more morally sophisticated young person. And then eventually, when you reach the age of majority or sometime thereabouts, you're empowered to go out into the world as a fully autonomous moral agent. The question is, can we do the same sort of thing with robotic systems? Those who are worried about the limitations of the top-down approach think that it's actually an imperative that we begin to explore this bottom-up approach. But there are serious criticisms of that approach, too. And so very famously, Ron Arkin has argued that a minimum necessary condition on any ethics programming for robotic systems is what he calls transparency. The system must be capable of justifying its moral choices by exhibiting for us, in effect, the decision tree that it followed in order to reach a given moral conclusion. Arkin points out that the kind of competence that you get with neural nets and learning algorithms is such that you literally can't look under the hood and watch the system behave in a decision tree-like fashion. He argues that systems that were designed in this way would be, as it were, morally opaque. And he thinks that's simply unacceptable in ethics programming for autonomous systems. To put my cards on the table, I'm an enthusiastic fan of this bottom-up approach. I think there's tremendous potential in the bottom-up approach. And I say to the Arkins of the world, well, human beings are moral learners. Human beings are, quite literally, neural nets who have been matured through learning algorithms. And human moral agents are, for that reason, just as inscrutable as a robot moral agent would be if it was designed in this bottom-up approach. Somehow we aren't bothered by the fact that humans are morally unpredictable and morally inscrutable. Why not? Well, because we've got abundant experience of living and working with human moral agents. We have elaborate social systems to try to reinforce their moral learning. It's not obvious to me why we can't aspire toward the same kind of predictability or rough predictability in the moral actions of robotic moral agents.
Right. In a situation like this where a robot is learning on its own, we don't know what the end product is. So let's say if the robot does do something immoral, who would be held responsible in this situation?
One doesn't imagine a world where we're going to design a baby moral robot, and then after it's passed out of its infancy, we're going to turn it loose on the world and take our chances and see how it's going to behave. No, most of the early moral learning of the robots is going to take place in a virtual space. And part of the beauty of that is that we can iterate all of the learning for a robotic system at an incredibly fast speed. So we can condense the moral learning that takes 20 years for a human moral agent down into a few hours for a robotic moral system. So we wouldn't be turning these things loose on the world until we were already satisfied that they were fairly well-formed moral agents. But of course, they're still going to be doing some learning after we do put them out in the world. And of course, they're going to make mistakes from time to time, just like humans make mistakes. So now back to your question, who's responsible? Well, that's a complicated question, and it's going to depend on how and why the system behaved in ways we didn't want it to behave. So one can easily imagine situations where it was simply a mistake on the part of the engineer who built the system or the team that did the initial moral training of the system. If that's the case, well, then I think the question of responsibility is going to be addressed in much the same way as today we deal with product liability law. We've got tons of experience. I think a more interesting question is how we as the human members of future human robot communities, how we ourselves accept responsibility for integrating those robot moral agents into that hybrid moral community. Hillary Clinton wrote that book, It Takes a Village. I think that's a nice image to keep in mind here. It takes a village. We all share this responsibility, just as we do for the moral cultivation of our own children and the people around us.
Right. When we're thinking about how to actually teach this machine or this robot a moral code of ethics, where do we get our moral code from? I mean, there's lots of places that morality comes from. We get it from our culture, we get it from our society, some people get it from their religion. Where's our starting point when it comes to teaching machines?
Well, it depends on what aspect of morality we're talking about. I have a collaborator right now with whom I'm working on a project to sort of take baby steps in the direction of using neural nets and learning algorithms to build a moral competence into the system. And the way we are starting is with some very simple, classic philosophers' moral choice thought experiments, like the lifeboat experiment, where you've got a lifeboat with only so many seats in it. You've got lots of people in the water. Whom do you take on to the lifeboat? You can't overwhelm the lifeboat and make it sink. Do you take the infant? Do you take the aged grandmother? Do you take the robust sailor who can row strongly and get the lifeboat to shore? What we do is we start with very simple examples of that. And then we go out and we collect data from human subjects, where we just pose these different variations of the lifeboat problem to them, and we record their responses. So then we have a data set that shows sort of the average human moral choice in all of these situations. Then what we do is we train up our robot moral agents using neural nets and learning algorithms in such a fashion as to reproduce with very high accuracy the kinds of moral choices that the human subjects have chosen. That's one way to begin. When we get to more difficult problems, this, of course, becomes a more complicated issue. And there's one question that I think was implicit in what you asked me a moment ago, and that is, given the multiplicity of different sources from which humans learn their morality, which of those sources do we choose from to guide the moral training of our robots? As people often ask me when I lecture on this topic, they say, well, which is the right morality? I think that one of the things that is morally valuable about the human moral universe is precisely the fact that we don't all agree on what the moral choice is in every situation. There's broad agreement about all sorts of simple and straightforward moral choices, but I think it's a good thing that different cultures, different traditions have a different perspective on different issues. I think we learn from one another morally by having that variety. Take this back to the question then of programming moral robots, and go back to my example of healthcare. If I were an engineer designing a healthcare robot for the North American market, I would design into it certain assumptions about the morality of touch, for example. Likewise, there are implicit norms about seeing. You know, if I'm dealing with a bedridden patient, what am I as a human health caregiver permitted to do by way of seeing the patient undressed or seeing the patient in some situation where most of us wouldn't want to be seen, you know, exhibiting some of our failures or incapacities? But if I were designing the same robot to be marketed in Saudi Arabia, I better well design a different set of implicit norms into that robot, because that's a culture with very different conventional assumptions about seeing and touch. So back to the big question, what source do we draw from? Well, it depends upon the problem. It depends upon the context. And other things being equal, I think that we should be prepared to embrace a certain amount of variety in the moral functioning of autonomous systems. There's already a very interesting conversation going on among the ethicists and the engineers about such questions as this. Given that in a trolley problem-like scenario, there are different possible choices, given that not everyone agrees on what is the morally appropriate choice, should we simply, as engineers and designers, build one set of choices into the functioning of all self-driving cars? Should this perhaps even be mandated in some way by industry associations or the federal government? Or should we, on the other hand, bring to market self-driving cars that are, well, should we say, morally tunable, where the owner of the self-driving car gets to turn a dial, in effect, and adapt the self-driving car to the moral choices that that individual human being would want to make? Or do we do something that's been seriously proposed by some thinkers, and that is randomize the moral choices? If indeed it's a situation where there's some significant spread of opinion among humans, maybe the responsible thing to do is just randomize the way the self-driving cars behave, because the humans, of course, are going to behave in somewhat random fashions. What do I think about this? I'm horrified by the randomization idea. I'm horrified by the moral tuner idea. Mm-hmm. I think I'm inclined to say that we really need to come to a consensus as a society about what the default decisions are going to be in the most typical kinds of cases that will arise. That's a problem that nobody's really trying to solve right now, but I think it's an important one for the near future, because these self-driving cars are going to be on the road. Well, some of them are right now. You can get an Uber car in Pittsburgh, right? They haven't been programmed to deal with these situations very well yet, but we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to do it soon.
So sometimes robots don't interact with humans, and sometimes these robots as well will need some sort of code of ethics. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question to think about. I don't think I've got any easy answer for that. But as the robots get more and more sophisticated, and especially if we do get to the point of something approximating full generalized artificial intelligence, if we solve that hard problem of consciousness, then we're going to have communities of robots that are going to be interacting with one another in ways very similar to the way humans interact with one another. And of course, we're going to have to think about how morality develops in a robot society. One of the things I like to think about is whether or not in such a community of socially interacting robots, one might see the emergence of ethical norms that are in interesting ways different from ethical norms that prevail in human communities. It's not unimaginable to me that something like that might happen. One reason why I find it interesting is because I believe firmly that the human moral project has not already reached its endpoint. I think that we as a human species continue to evolve morally. I like to think about the fact that, for example, just 200 years ago, lots of human beings thought that slavery was perfectly morally acceptable. Happily, we grew up as a species, and we no longer think that way. What led us to develop morally in that fashion? Well, partly it was the emergence of a different moral perspective on slavery within certain human communities. So the community of abolitionists, for example, and the rest of humanity, observing the moral behavior of the abolitionist community, eventually learned from that community. Why can't the same thing happen in future if super smart robots learn how to treat one another with better moral regard than humans do on average. Is it impossible to imagine that we humans might be morally enabled by following the example that we see in a robot moral community? This is one of the reasons why I think that this is a great laboratory in which we can ourselves study human morality.
Yeah, it's interesting to think that if we are letting robots learn morality, as you mentioned before, they can learn in these virtual environments where they're learning much faster than their human counterparts would. It's almost easy to imagine that the robots would learn what's moral so fast that they might actually become more moral than humans would be, and they would be teaching us how to act ethically.
Indeed. Again, why is that not possible? Let me give you an analogy that doesn't have anything to do with morality, but does exhibit exactly what you're talking about. There was a computer engineer in Scandinavia who was tasked by, was it the Swedish government? I forget. To develop the most sophisticated ever battlefield war game scenarios, build a fantastic system, only to have the government that contracted for it lose interest in the project. So here's this guy sitting on top of this state-of-the-art AI technology. And so he started looking about for another client. Who does he find as a client? He finds some people who want to build poker-playing robots. And lo and behold, it turned out that his system was beautifully designed to produce poker-playing robots and to do it by training them up in how to play Texas Hold'em, or your favorite version of poker, and take advantage of this extreme rapidity with which the learning can go on. He's watching them play poker one day, and he notices this one round in one game where this one robot bluffed in a way that he didn't even understand. It was bluffing in its betting strategy. And he found it fascinating. And so he had this team of consultants, like the top five human Texas Hold'em players. And he went to these consultants and he said, look what happened in this hand. Do you know what's going on there? You know, what happened there? They were shocked. What had happened is that the robot on its own had discovered a bluffing strategy that was like famous in this community, in that it was a bluffing strategy known only to the top half a dozen or so human poker players. Mm. And it emerged in the behavior of that poker-playing robot. By the way, from what I've read, you can go to Vegas now, and if you're foolish enough, you can play poker against this guy's poker-playing robot, but you're guaranteed to lose your shirt, so don't don't do it. But if something like that can happen with a poker-playing robot, learning this really esoteric bluffing strategy within just days, why isn't it imaginable that a super smart, fast learner, moral robot could find nuance and subtlety and complexity in the moral life of a kind that we humans hadn't yet found?
It's interesting to think about. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Elizabeth, and thank you again very much for the invitation to do this.
This is Elizabeth Fernandez for Spark Dialogue Podcasts. If you like this podcast, rate us. Your rating means a lot. We're on your favorite podcast repositories and at sparkdialogue.com. As always, thanks for listening.